Blog Talk Radio.
Islamic terrorism or terrorists.
And she kept saying, well, there's other extreme groups. There's other extreme groups that we need to deal with. It's not just people who misuse the name of Islam. You see, won't even say Islamic terrorist. Misuse the name of Islam. They're saying they're misusing the name of it. If they're misusing the name of Islam, where are the 1.6 billion moderate Muslims that agree with that? Why aren't they standing up and screaming at the top of their lungs, stop this insidious murder? Stop it. They're not. You have a few here and there. But then this guy went on to say to me, well, the French have not found all that was involved. You know, and what a better target for a terrorist than to have the President of the United States to be there. Yeah, but the President of the United States anywhere is a target. That just goes with the territory. And he said that you have Islamic leaders condemning these actions before anything will get done. Well, I agree with that, but they're not. There's very few. There's a couple. And I think that the administration is really avoiding saying Islamic terrorists, just like the world has always not wanted to take a stand politically. People say we keep politics out of the church. I don't know how you do that when you read the scriptures. But there's this problem, and it's that word extremist. And about the last days situations, that's where right will be wrong and wrong will be right. People will just follow after their own flesh, their own lust, their own desires. So we kind of blow it off and don't think about the words. My wife and I were talking earlier about words and what they mean, and that the English language has a lot more words than we use. But we just kind of really dumb it down and don't use as many, and we don't speak well. You could probably go back over the couple years I've been on the radio and listen to programs, and I would say things like given, G-I-V-I-N-G, dropping the G, not enunciating correctly, not pronouncing words correctly, not even using some of the words I've used correctly. We just are really sloppy in our English language, and I'm probably the king of that, so I'm not saying everybody else is, and I'm not. I'm just saying we just don't take the time to think about it. And because of that, we don't take the time to think about words that are being used by the particular administration that's in, or any administration for that matter. Listen to what's actually happening. Do you know what an extremist is? What an extremist is? Barack Obama is speaking very boldly about the need to win the war against extremists. And he actually just recently announced plans to host a major global summit on extremism next month, which is February. And it sounds good. If we don't think about it too much, well, of course we don't want that. We don't want all these horrible things that have happened, what just happened at Charlie Hebdo at the newspaper, and what's happened in Australia, what's happened with Boko Haram, what's happened in Iraq, Afghanistan, and all around the world. Of course we don't want that happening. There's a problem, though. When they say extremist, what do they mean? If you Google search extremist, you're going to find an extremist is defined this way: a person who holds extreme or fanatical political or religious views, especially one who resorts to or advocates extreme action. According to Wikipedia, which some people quote all the time, extremism is an ideology, particularly in politics or religion, considered to be far outside the mainstream attitudes of a society, or to violate common moral standards. Extremism can take many forms, including political, religious, and economic. So there's something that's missing from that. We would probably agree, yeah, that would be extremism. But there's something that's missing, because there is neither any of these definitions use the word violence. In this day and age, you can be considered an extremist simply based on what you believe. And as you'll see, as we study through this, extremists can be considered potential terrorists, according to U.S. government documents, and we've seen this before. Christian extremist. You see, that gal was being interviewed by Martha McCallum today. Go online and check it out on YouTube. She would not say, she goes, we have other extremists. So you can't just limit this to people that misuse the name of Islam. We have other extremists, so you cannot just limit that to the people who misuse the name of Islam. What she wanted to say but didn't and stopped short of, but as papers coming out of this administration have said, Christian extremist. Now, you have people like from Westboro Baptist Church. They're not Christians. They claim to be. And they are extreme. And they're insane. They're not believers and followers of Jesus Christ. I'm saying that right now as a Christian. They're not. They have all the right terms in certain times. They use the Bible. They do all kinds of stuff. But the stuff they're doing is atrocious. It's hideous. It's unbelievably sick, okay? So, and I will state that, and I think any other Christians would state at least, and they might be less extreme than me, and say, well, it's really not good. But the bottom line is, it's wrong. But see, we are all now being grouped together. And that's what they say, well, we can't do that either with Islam. Well, with one exception, Islam teaches jihad. Islam teaches it in the Quran. So we have to stop and understand that and believe that and know that. Now, the prophecies, last day's prophecies are going to show us that this is going to happen. This along with something else. I don't want to limit it to that right now. I want to go to this because this is just amazing. Let me just do this. I'm going to read some headlines from today. I haven't done this in a while, but I just want to read some headlines from today and what got me going on this. So since Obama declares war on extremism, you have to figure out what an extremist is and see if you are one. Atheists at a local school have launched a Better News Club that will counter the Good News Club. That, by the way, the Good News Club has been around forever. And that's just kind of interesting because how weird is that? there's a Muslim-raised actor that is going to be playing Jesus in the Killing Jesus, A History. Of course, Bill O'Reilly, a wonderfully, theologically sound man, not writing a book called Killing Jesus, and he didn't write it by himself, so he had other, you know, twisted help. And this guy's going to play Jesus, and he goes, it's no big deal, because, you know, we as Muslims, we believe that Jesus is a prophet, so it's cool. He's a central figure in our faith, too. And I'm going, excuse me? These are headlines. Check this one out. This is amazing. There's a Kansas church, St. James Episcopal Church in Wichita, Kansas. They are preparing to mark the 42nd anniversary of legalized abortion with a chili dinner on church grounds. Tickets will be sold, and they'll range from $20 to $1,000 apiece. And money's going to be turned over to Planned Parenthood, which promises an evening of stimulating conversation, refreshments, and chili. They're having a chili feed to celebrate 42 years of slaughter of babies. Interesting. The last thing I wanted to talk about was this one, and I actually have a list of it. We don't know too much. It says in the end times there's going to be earthquakes in various places or diverse places. Those are earthquakes, so the earth is shuddering. But we can look at some other earthquakes, too, and I'm not trying to grab a scripture for this. I am trying to talk about this from the scriptural viewpoint of the buying and selling in the end times is not going to be able to be done without that mark, however that mark ends up being, and whatever exactly it is and how it's applied, you won't be able to buy or sell. Well, look at this. There's a retail earthquake. I'll give you a thing of it. Macy's is closing 14 of its 790 stores across the country. JCPenney, by the way, Macy's used to be Bon Marché, good market, okay. JCPenney closing 39 of its stores. There's just store after store after store. Sears closing stores. They've been in business for 122 years. They're closing 235 of their underperforming stores. Wet Seals closing 338 of its stores. There's just Radio Shack on and on and on. So I'm going to give you a list of states that is having JCPenney's close. Georgia, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Massachusetts, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Texas, Virginia, Vermont, and Wisconsin. That should be frightening to think of that many large large stores that have been around forever going out of business. Let me give you a better list here. I got to drop down here. Here's a list of stores where hundreds of thousands of people have newly been unemployed. Hundreds of thousands. JCPenney, Sears, Bottom Dollar Foods, Barnes & Noble Incorporated, The Gap, Radio Shack Corp, Borders, Circuit City, Best Buy, Office Depot, GameStop, Office Max, Macy's, Kmart. You see, if we look at that, that shouldn't be shocking to in one respect, but in another, these are majority of these have been around for years. Some of them for 100 plus years. We have to look at that and see these guys have been around, and they've okay. What's stopping it? Well, we do have online shopping that's really just taking these guys to task. Even if the prices online are comparable, if not, you know, right at. Let's just say you had to drive 35 minutes in traffic to go and buy something that costs $50 and then drive back. Even with gas coming down and being under $2 a gallon now, you still have to spend the gas and the time and the effort and the wear and the tear and in the traffic and the potential of an accident and people just being rude. And it's an hour of your time. What's an hour of your time worth? You know, is it worth $5? Is it worth $10? If you listen to some people, it's worth at least $15. If you're reality, you know, if you're a reality person, it's worth a lot more than that. Here's the bottom line: if it's $50 in this brick and mortar store, and it's $50 online, and they deliver it to your house, you're going to spend the same amount of money, and you're going to save the hassle, the wear and tear in your vehicle, and the gas money. Think about it for a minute. Is that why would you drive and do that? Now, a lot of people like to drive, but after a period of time, and especially if it's, you know, it's like, man, I don't need it right this second. It's not like bread and milk. Well, then Amazon goes, hey, we're going to start delivering right in New York City, and you can even order your groceries. I talked to a couple young people. I mean, they're in their late 20s, and they said they'd pay an extra $5, $10 to have it delivered to their house so they didn't have to go out. So they can get their delivery amount. So it's the face of the way we live is changing. The face of the way we live is changing. Now, what does that do? Well, what it does is it sets the stage for Bible prophecy to be opened up to people and have them say, oh my, maybe, just maybe, we are approaching the end of things as we know them. And with just these things, just this one day, I believe this, that the writing is on the wall, or the handwriting's on the wall. And it very easily could be the end of the age of grace. And there's a pause in Daniel's timeline that occurred in the 69th week. If that ends, then we have the 70th week of Daniel. And I think we need to really look at that. I think that if the fullness of the Gentiles is now being reached, as spoken of Romans 11:25 and Acts 15:13-18, then the stage is definitely set and the actors are in place. And I believe the Bible prophecy has been fulfilled and is still continuing to be fulfilled. And we have some things. One thing I think has to happen is not just embroiled in peace talks in Israel, but there to be a peace treaty signed with all these people and for the rebuilding of the temple. And remember, the East Gate is still closed, and it's going to remain closed until the Lord returns. It's closed right now. Look at a picture of Israel. You'll see it. When you see the dome, that gold dome, you see Jerusalem, not Israel, but Jerusalem, pardon me, you'll look and see that gate is all covered in. It's going to remain that way until the Lord returns. And I think that everybody around the world is really sensing something that's just like, what's going to happen? I don't believe it's the rapture. I believe it's the signing of the peace treaty, the rebuilding of the temple, the 3.5 years of, oh my, everything is really great now, and then 3.5 years of, oh my, nothing's ever been this horrible and ever will be again. And just before God pours his wrath out, the church will be taken. Dead in Christ rise first. Those of us who remain will be changed in an instant, boom. And then, oh my, there'll be a 1,000-year millennial reign. We get to reign with Christ. But that's all in prophecy. And I think that there's a lot of sleeping Christians out there. And the reason why they, I think, are sleeping is because they say, hey, the rapture's going to happen. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to be taken out of here. I don't have to worry about it. Well, I don't think worry adds a single cubit to your lifespan. But I think we need to be concerned enough to be able to share with everybody, hey, you know what? Get ready. Things are really going to get weird. Things are really going to get weird. The people that are completely asleep because they're pre-trib, nothing bad. They're not going to have to go through that seven-year period where in the last 3.5 years is horrific. They never have to go through that. They're going to be taken out of here. That's a real comforting thing, and I hope that happens. But as I've studied over the last 30-plus years, I've gone, I'm not sure that that's exactly the way it's going to go down. I don't know the timeline, but we could. And if it's not us, somebody is going to live during that time, and we need to prepare them, even if we are all gone at the beginning. There's people that are going to be living during that time, and they need to know the truth, and are we going to be doing that? I think that all the prophetic signs that are out there are pointing towards the return of Christ, pointing towards the 70th week of Daniel. I think that scripturally we can show that, and it's true. As to exactly when, I don't know. As to even really honestly a season, I don't know, other than at the end of the end times. And I believe we're rapidly, if not in that time. So we have to look and say, wow, this is what the scriptures teach. And the big deal is this. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come pass, lift up your head and look, because your redemption draws near or nigh. Matthew 24:33, Mark 13:29, Luke 21:31. I believe if these things are beginning to come to pass. Now, I don't, you know, it's kind of weird because we have number 10 grandbaby on the way, and in 7 months or so, she's going to be going, I think, and then all of a sudden it's more than think, but it starts to happen, and then eventually brings forth a child. So here's the thing. When we see these things begin to come to pass, we're supposed to look up, not look down, not be bummed out and over in a corner weeping, but we're supposed to look up and say, wow, Jesus is coming back. And we're getting closer than we ever were before. Closer than we ever were before. We got a lot of people out there that are worshiping. They're worshiping all kinds of things. Some are worshiping God, but they don't know Jesus. There's an entire group. The Jews worship the true God, but they don't know Jesus, the Messiah. We need to bring the good news of Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection to everyone that we can possibly bring it to, and we need to do it now. We don't have time to waste, and we can't wait any longer. Anyway, I'm building up a group of letters and different studies and stuff, and just really getting even deeper into this, because I think we need to be prepared for what's going to be happening. And as we look around, and we just look at these, just like I said, these headlines of today are just shocking to me when we see all this stuff that's actually happening. This is not something that's made up or, oh, that's not real. No, it's all real. It's all really happening right now as we speak. These things are coming to pass. So I think that the beginning of the end is at least closer than it's ever been. And I think everyone can agree, we're closer to the return of Christ today than we were yesterday. But are we more prepared today than we were yesterday by studying the scriptures and looking and seeing how God would have us live and bring the truth to people, the truth of Jesus Christ and his saving grace, mercy, love that he has for us? It's up to us. I mean, it really is up to us. It's up to you. As strange as that sounds, it's up to you and I to bring the truth to people and to do it now. Not to wait till later, but to do it now. And if we don't do that, then there's going to be people's blood on our hands. And I don't want people's blood on our hands, on my hands anyway. Bring the truth in love, not screaming and yelling or telling people they're going to burn in hell for all eternity. Although that's ultimately the truth if they don't receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But He is calling everyone to himself. We need to present that message to people. If they don't respond to us, oh well. If they don't respond to Jesus, they won't fare well. But if we present the truth and how they can respond, they need to know that sin. They need to know what sin is. That sin is anything that misses the mark of perfection in your life. If you look at it that way, you can look at your life and go, uh-oh. Because if there's just one thing, you're guilty of it all. You've missed the mark of perfection. You didn't hit the bullseye. It's kind of weird when you're shooting an arrow at a bullseye and you miss the bullseye. You know you missed it because you can see where it hit and it's not in the bullseye. There's people that are getting generally kind of close and they think it's good enough, but it's not. Sin is going to separate you for all eternity from God. But if you come to Jesus, it's as though he takes every one of your shots and puts them in the bullseye because he removes the penalty and the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life. He removes that by paying the price for you, his shed blood, and shed his own blood for you. And you come to that point of realizing that I am not going to make it on my own. I need a Savior, and that Savior is Jesus. And you come to him, and you confess you have missed the mark of perfection, and you want to be washed and cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and you receive him into your life. Now, then his Spirit unions with your spirit. You're born. So you can be a worshiper of God, but you're not born again. So you worship God, you revere God, you love who God is, but you don't really know him personally. You just respect the office, as it were. Well, when you come to a personal relationship with God, he sent his son to die for you, and the Spirit of God will not only come into you, but will minister to you from the inside out. Now you're born again. Now you work out your salvation that you've been given with fear and trembling, because your soul, mind, will, and emotions constantly being transformed to be renewed in Christ. And then we exit this planet, and we either get a new body when we're dead and we're raised, or we're changed like that, and we have a new body and we're done. It's complete. It is finished. So we need to know that is the message we need to bring to people. And if we do bring that to people, and they respond, they will spend eternity with Christ. Then we just live out our life here. I don't know how long we have, 20 years, 50 years, 100 years, 1,000 years, 9 years. I don't know. But are we living our lives for Christ or not? A lot of us have recently had some wake-up calls, some real shocks in our lives, losing someone or possibly nearly losing your life. Are you waking up to the fact that God's trying to get you to wake up and smell the coffee? Wake up and smell the roses. Wake up and live life and bring a message of hope to people in a hopeless time. That's what we're supposed to do. I really hope and I pray that that's what you're doing. Well, we ended the show today. Here we go, the 13th. Tomorrow is the 14th. You realize it's 1 month after that is Valentine's Day. Don't treat people sweet on Valentine's Day only. Treat people in a godly, loving fashion. And the way you can do that is by knowing Christ. That's how you can treat people correctly if you know Jesus. Because he puts into your heart that love and mercy and grace that can be shed abroad through you if you're obedient to him. So have a wonderful, wonderful day. We'll see you tomorrow at 11 o'clock. God bless.